portion of this season's Philosopher's Forum lectures. See a lot of familiar faces, but a few new ones, and welcome the new ones particularly. We've been going strong with this program now with only a brief interruption or two for well nigh 30 years, and we are an all-volunteer nonprofit organization. Really united only by our love of philosophy and thinking. And the goal of this series is to have a forum where as diverse an array of viewpoints as we can put together, have a chance to explain their viewpoints, and so that we all may understand them better and have them to think about. And we do take up a contribution of $5, which helps defray our expenses of mailing and website and equipment and whatnot. But it is a nonprofit organization, so none of that inures to the benefit of any member or director. It all goes to the charitable purpose. And if you want to be a regular, for $30, you can have a six-month subscription. That'll be pretty close to a half-price deal. And so see Dr. Alkeck here at the end of the second table if you didn't get a chance to pay on your way in. And we have some schedules available for the rest of our lineup this year. So who has those? Jack, you have those? Or David has those? Or Rob? See Rob out here next to Dr. Alkeck or Dr. Alkeck if you need a schedule on the way out. And we are experimenting with a new start time of 7. We've been starting at 7:30 for longer than I can remember. So let us know how that works out, if you're a fan or not a fan of that. It's kind of a new experiment. I think hopefully one of the benefits of that is we'll have a little bit more time at the end before the restaurant sweeps us out, you know, to kind of socialize. So that's one of the purposes of trying to do it a little bit earlier, so if we have a little more together time. And so I think that's pretty much the business end of things. So I would like to introduce tonight's speaker. Who I've heard great things about for some friends of mine for quite a while, so I'm looking very forward to it. But we're very privileged tonight to have Dr. Yusuf Kavaki, and I'll give you just a brief thumbnail of his quite considerable background. He was born in Turkey and received a bachelor's degree in Islamic studies from the Institute of Higher Islamic Studies and a law degree from the College of Law at Istanbul University, and then went on to a PhD in Islamic history and culture from Istanbul University, and became admitted to the Faculty of Letters at Istanbul University, and then went to work as an assistant and associate professor at the Institute of Islamic Research with Istanbul University, but came some 25 years ago, I believe, to North Texas. Is that about the right time frame? 25 years ago, here to North Texas. I just lost my notes here. Where he became the leader of the local Islamic community here, and is very active in interfaith studies, interreligious dialogues, and is the chief imam at the mosque you may have driven by on Abrams Road, just north of Spring Valley. And his topic tonight will be a writer I've been intrigued about since I first read about him in a college philosophy class, Muhammad Iqbal, who is both a poet and a philosopher. And so we have another new tradition here at the Philosopher's Forum, which is we depend so much on our presenters, and we really offer nothing tangible other than a dinner, which isn't very much, but to really kind of have an intangible token of how much we appreciate their efforts on our behalf, we've begun printing these certificates of appreciation. So it's just a token, but we'd like you to know.
Thank you very much. May God bless you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Peace be upon you, brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen. This is the way we Muslims begin to salute each other, anyone we meet. That peace is actually God is peace, salam. Paradise is peace. Peace in mind, peace in heart, peace in life, peace individually, peace in family, peace in the community. That type of big peace. So let be blessings of God and peace on you all, dear brothers and sisters. I am honored really to have this opportunity to be able to stand here and to speak about Muhammad Iqbal. When our brother David contacted me, I thought somebody must have told my name to someone. Then I did not dig in, but when we were just sitting, he mentioned Ali Sheikh, who is our community member. So I don't see him here, but I am thankful to him in absentia, and thankful to the brother David inviting me. First, I must acknowledge I am not too much in philosophy area. Yes, I studied, I would say, quite a time with prominent philosophers in Turkey. Hilmi Ziya Ulken, these big books, this is almost 50 years ago, big books, and struggled. Plato, Aflatun in Islamic studies, and Socrates, we call Socrates in Turkish. So Aristo, Aristoteles, Aristo, how to pronounce, you know, Greek word, and it says Arabic. So it was a big challenge. Also Ibn Sina, Avicenna, Ibn Rushd, Averro. Actually, one of Ibn Rushd's books, I taught here, Abraham said, Spring Valley, Centennial, one side in the mosque, two common people. I taught after morning prayers, like 10-15 minutes, we have early morning prayer before sunrises. So there could be like 200 people attending that time, generally speaking, 200, 150, 200. Every day we pray five times. Worship prayer, we pray five times worship prayer, individually or in congregation. So this is one of them. So I taught Averroes, Al-Bidaya wa Nihaya, like summary, Arabic text, summary. So I would say I had connection with the philosophy in one way or another. But I would say a little bit more. My literature teacher, Mahiris, passed away. May Allah bless him in his grave. So his teacher, one of the very famous poets in Turkey, like Muhammad Iqbal, I am going to talk. That Mehmet Akif, his name is Mehmet Akif, National Anthem of Turkey is written by him. So he passed away in 1938. He passed away, like Muhammad Iqbal, same time. But they were communicating with each other. They did not see each other. Mehmet Akif, Turkish poet, used to communicate with the Muhammad Iqbal in Pakistan, but they did not meet each other. So What I am saying, my teacher's teacher had relation, direct relation, communication with this poet. When I studied later on Arabic and Persian, I had chance to read almost all his Persian poems. This is the book I keep as a blessing. Kulliyat, this is Muhammad Iqbal. This is Kulliyat Ash'ar al-Farisi, Mawlana Iqbal al-Lahuri. This is anthology, like covers. All Persian poems of Muhammad Iqbal Lahuri from Lahore. So this is the book really I keep as a blessing. And perhaps in my life I might have one or two days I never slept whole night, like exam time, law school and everything, you see. A few days, not all, a few days. This is when I got from India printed text of Muhammad Iqbal's poems. That is the night, all night, reading, I did not sleep at all. Really great man. A few words about his life. I know my time is limited. I love speaking, but no good always to speaking. So he was born 1877 in Punjab, one of the five regions in Pakistan, in Sialkot. Sialkot, a small city. I did not visit, but I know from literature. Sialkot is Sialkot, Sialkot. His family originally comes from Kashmir. Kashmir is the paradise in this world, in literature. There is a poem in Persia. If you are looking any paradise in the world, Kashmir, Kashmir, Kashmir. It is Kashmir. This is what they say. I did not visit Kashmir, but so he is coming from a Brahmin Hindu family, his parents, that type, then born, grew up. Main characteristic of Muhammad Iqbal is lawyer and philosopher. But I would say more philosophy, more literature, more poetic realm than law. He tried a little bit here and there, law study, but I would say I am also in that category. I am considering myself, did not practice too much law, because I was told one of my, you forgive me, lawyers here, one of my professor, German orientalist who lived in Turkey, was my teacher, Osman Reşar, Oscar Reşar. Juri stands in Schlechte Christen. Lawyers are bad Christians. This is what he told me when I was student. He was my Arabic teacher at the same time. So, respectfully, this is what I ran away from the practice of law, but taught law for quite a time. So Muhammad Iqbal, philosopher and lawyer, poetic realm. But I would say one of his main characteristics is he is one of the person who was instrumental in establishment a state, Pakistan. as poet. I may think in eastern part, Muslim world, Persian, Arabic, that area, we don't have any other example who will be ideologically also instrumental for any establishment of a state. Muhammad Iqbal is one of them in this area, perhaps the only one who could manage. He, you know, India-Pakistan were together and Muslims were struggling. Ali Jinnah, Muhammad Ali Jinnah, Muhammad Ali, Shaukat Ali. I also took some interest on studying that part of the world. And we found Muslims kind of down and how to help oppressed, suppressed, colonized. This is the psyche. So he is the one of the persons who, with his poems, contributed to bring this Ummah, Muslim nation, Muslim people, to get energized to do something, not really stay like that. In North Africa, in Algeria, we have Malik bin Nabi. He is also, I would say, in that category. Lived in Paris, and also in Algeria. But an intellectual with his books, with his things, wanted to do something. But Muhammad Iqbal is clearly the one who was landmark for establishment of Pakistan. I must say, he was Bulbulinalan. Bulbul means nightingale. Nalan means crying, chanting. Chanter nightingale. But that is the expression we use for poets, for literary guys who are very much concerned and mention and dwell on how to help other people and cry and write and pulse. That is the Bulbulinalan. He was Bulbulinalan, Muhammad Iqbal, of the people that time. As Mehmet Akif, my teacher, I just mentioned, was like that. Mehmet Akif, you allow me sometimes like that, comparing. Mehmet Akif has a Safahat, a Diwan, like this, all poems. But in Turkish, because it is in Turkish, Muslim world don't know, and outside of Muslim world, other than in Harvard or in Princeton or Yale University, where Turkish Ottoman historic studies are done, nobody knows him. Whereas he is real man. Ideology, expressions. Bulbulinalan, he is also Bulbulinalan. So Muhammad Iqbal, Bulbulinalan of Ummah, Muslim nation. That is Ummah. That is the terminology used to do. I appreciate very much Nicholson, who worked on Mevlana Celaleddin Rumi, this whirling dervishes you may know. He translated his Mesnevi into English, printed original Persian text with critical notes, Nicholson, Also, he is the one who encouraged Muhammad Iqbal, go write and appreciate it. But he is not only person. I very much also mentioned with blessings of God next to Nicholson, Anne Marie Schimmel, fantastic lady, honored to be with her many times in different international conferences, and also honored she visited me here in my Faqir Khane, we call my poor dwelling place, home, this is what we say. But fantastic lady, Anne Marie Schimmel, translated and worked on Muhammad Iqbal, together with Jalaluddin Rumi. But Rumi is great sheikh of Muhammad Iqbal. Rumi, Muhammad Iqbal says in his poems here, I am murid, I am disciple of Jalaluddin Rumi. I am his disciple, he is my master, my sheikh. Sheikh like I, in Sufism, sheikh means you attach yourself to spiritual guide and you submit your will to him. Like whatever he says, okay. Whatever he says, okay. Level, even to that level. So he says, my sheikh is so this is common. Worked on Muhammad Iqbal, Jalaluddin Rumi, Muhammad Iqbal Sheikh, all together. I would like to touch a few points of Muhammad Iqbal, mainly poetic part, but the poems I am going to touch are not in Persian. So I studied a little bit Urdu, other language of Pakistan, in which Muhammad Iqbal wrote his poems. But I can kind of figure out what the words means, because the Arabic words, Persian words in Urdu, and some Turkish words too in Urdu, I can figure out what is meant, though I may not know exactly the language. So he wrote two poems. One is Shikwa, second one is Jawab Shikwa. Shikwa means complaint. This is the atmosphere when he wrote that poem, 1919. I think, 1909, when he wrote that poem. First, he saw the Muslim world suffering. There is no big hope for future. And West, powerful, strong. Just a comment, if he had lived today, I wonder what Muhammad Iqbal could have said about this position and situation of Ummah of Muslims. Perhaps he would hit his head to a rock wall somewhere. But that time, watching from the corner, this plight of Muslims trying to figure out what, how, so he wrote a poem. This poem is Chicois complet. So he says, for example, I am just English part, some English part. We continue, he says at the beginning, we continuously wandered all over the world. We wandered like the wine cup with Tawhid. Tawhid's wine, divine unity of God, wine. This is allegorical, metaphorical meaning of yes. We wandered with your message in the mountains, in the deserts, and you know whether we ever returned unsuccessful. What of the deserts? We did not spare any oceans. I mean, we were everywhere, like Muslims, civilization, everywhere. He goes over. There are other nations among them are sinners also. There are modest people and arrogant ones also. Among them are indolent as well as clever people. There are also hundreds who are disguised with your name. Your grace descend on other people's abodes. Lightning strikes only poor Muslims' abodes. He is addressing to God. I mean, we were like that before. Now, I mean, you are blessing other people. You are not this type of a little bit, what I say, not carefully reverenceful addressing God. He has that method. This Muhammad Iqbal has that method. Let me rush to say something. When he wrote this poem, all mullahs are imams, scholars, madrasa teachers. Mullahs, what? This guy is no more Muslim. No, this is no more Muslim. You are out of Islam, excommunicated. This was the treatment because they did not like these madrasa teachers, people did not like this type of not that much respectful expressions to God. So then he says, there is no pleasure in dying, no taste in living. If there is any pleasure, it's in bearing this affliction in many virtues, restless in my mirror, many flattering in my breast, but there is none in this garden to see them. There is no puppies with love stains in their breast. So complaining. In a nutshell, what he said, oh my God, you are omnipotent, you are powerful, you fix everything, you are creator, you are almighty, but what is going on here? You are watching. So, mullahs, this guy. So this is what happened. Now, after 4 years, he is beaten, criticized in his corner, keeps quiet, writes other things, ignores, as if nothing happened. Then he, at the end, he finds Jawabu Shikwa, answer to that complaint, 4 years later. This is too many stanzas, too many couplets, but in a nutshell, I want to keep the time fitting to the program. I don't have too much time. in a nutshell, I told you, God is answering. You do this way, you did opposite. If you do this way, I will grant my more mercy, extra help you, but you didn't do. So why are you like, what is the problem? You are yourself the problem. You did not deserve to get help, my help. So when he wrote this second poem, Answer from God, all mullahs, so they lower their heads, they kind of become apologetic. I hope, how much, I don't know. Now, in a few minutes, I want to go a little bit more in his poems. As I said, Muhammad Iqbal wrote his poems in Persian, in Urdu. Also, he wrote about a book, interesting, that is Reconstruction of Islamic Thought. He has two main books. One is related in Persian, development of philosophy and science in Persia, in Iran, and second one, Reconstruction of Islamic Thought. But I want to say one or two comments on this Reconstruction of Islamic Thought. That is the subject. Muhammad Iqbal saw in his heart the real problem in Muslim world is the minds of the people, way of thinking. Germans call Weltanschauung, outlook, world to look out to world, way of thinking. He said he wanted way of thinking of Muslims be changed. It won't work this way. Why? This is what it is that time, because Muslims were thinking they were not futuristic. Their way of thinking is not innovative. This was his feeling. So he wanted to reconstruct, rebuild, redevelop way of thinking of Ummah. Very important, I would say. But this is, I would say, second book in the history of Islamic way of thinking. First one is Ghazali, 1111, Christian date, AD, 1111, 12th century, beginning of 12th century, his death date. Abu Hamid Muhammad al-Ghazali, Sufi, philosopher, struggles with other philosophers too. So he wrote a book, big one. This big one. Called Ihya'u Ulum al-Din. What that means? Reviving religious sciences. He thought, He thought, just 5 centuries after the prophet's death, Muhammad's death, he thought sciences were not real, whatever they taught in the madrasas, in colleges, in schools. What is this they are teaching? No! Let me revive real one, bring back real one. Ihya'u ulum al-din. Reviving. He is himself Sufi. He was not Sufi at the beginning, Nizamiya Madrasa in Baghdad studied and like that, Ghazali. But at the end he became a little bit spiritualist, and he wrote this book, like another one, Kimya-i Saadat. This is in Persian, he wrote in Persian, the other one is in Arabic. Kimya-i Saadat, Chemistry of Happiness, or Essence, Substance of Happiness, this big book. Actually, I had to check a Turkish translation from the original and finding mistakes a lot. This has happened 40 years ago in my days. That book, Kimya-i Saadet, very important. What is the substance of happiness? What is happiness? How to become happy? Substance. So. What I said, let me summarize. Muhammad Iqbal is second person, next to Ghazali, thinking that way of thinking, reviving of new thinking, innovative new thinking is needed for Ummah. Very interesting. That book, I must say that I tried to understand a few times, read a few times, but perhaps I could not manage that time because it is not that much easy. I found that time I need to go over once more to understand well. So, Muhammad Iqbal is, he thought about Muslim Ummah's problems and what they did. Now, I would like to share with you mainly two of his poems. First, let me just give English translation, then I will recite a little bit traditional way as my teacher, Mahir, is used to recite, also my Persian teacher used to recite that way. I will imitate them. But first, Bekhanendeyi Kitab-u Zabur. This is like opening part for a book called Zaburu Ajam. Zabur means Psalms. David, prophet, his book is called Zabur in Quran. وَآتَيْنَا دَاوُدَ زَبُورًا. We gave David Zabur. We revealed to him Zabur. Zabur is the name of like Torah, like Gospels, Injil, book given to, revealed to David, Dawood, father of Solomon in Quran. So Zabur Ajam, but this is called Psalms for non-Arab, I mean name of the book. Bekhanendeyi Kitab-u Zabur. To the person who is going to read this book. Mishavet Perdei Cheshman, Perigahi, Gahi. My eyes cover, my eyes curtain, preventing me to see everything, becomes very thin sometimes. Didam herdu jihanra bani gahi gahi. I see two worlds, this world and the hereafter, in one glance, but sometimes. The word, key word is here, sometimes. Sometimes I cannot see nothing. Sometimes I can see anything, everything. Okay. Wadi'as besi duru dirazest valley. The valley of Lao, Ashq. Of course, this Lao is platonic, divine, love of God, I mean love of anything, everything, big word. Because in Sufism, this is Ashq, Ashik, Rusha, these terminologies have immense meaning, wide meaning. So, the valley of love is so far, so wide, valley Taishavadda Jaday Satsale Be'ahi Kahi. But, 100 years road, 100 years of street, 100 years travel distance that far becomes wrapped, come next to you with one R, like missing. Ah, I won't. Ah, but Gahi sometimes. Dar talab koosh ve medeh dameni ummid zidest. You always try to look for. Don't pull away your hand from the skirt of hope. Grab the skirt, grab the curtain, the piece of hope. Always stick to that, look for that. Dawlati has ki yabi sarirahi gahi. Some chance may come. You will find whatever you want, but sometimes. Finished. I will read once more, a little artistic way. But let me point out once more. Key is Gahi, Gahi, Gahi. Once, sometimes, sometimes. He says, sometimes I cannot see, sometimes I see, sometimes I cannot go, sometimes I do, sometimes, 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 sometimes. Sometimes angel, sometimes devil. Same person, same people, same. Sometimes. So, let me read once more. Mi shavat. Perdei Cheshman Perikahi Gahi Didem Herdu Jihanra Benigahi Gahi Wadi Ask Besidu Rudiraz Estreli T فایشه جاده صد ساله به آهی گاهی در طلب کوش و مده دامنی امید زیدست دولتی هست که یابی سر راهی گاهی.
What language
was that? Sorry? What language was that? Persian. All poems, because I know only, I mean, Persian, I don't know the Urdu part of it. Now, this could be last part of my presentation with another poem, a little bit long. I said before, Muhammad Iqbal was Bulbul-e-Lalan of Ummah, like crying nightingale for the plight situation of Muslims. Okay? So now he imagines everybody is developed, West advanced, Muslim world in miserable situation, so sleeping. Muslim world is sleeping. So he said, let me wake up, let me invite Muslim world to wake up. Awaken. So, a few lines, let me go explaining, then I will recite artistically. Ashab-i Giran Khis, get up from deep sleep. That is the title. Ey Hunce-i Khabide, Çünergis, Nigeran Khis, all budding rose. Baby rose, budding. Why are you sleeping? Get up. Don't sleep. Kashane-i Maref, Betaraj-i Ghamankhiz. Our palace, our mansion, our homes, our lands, gone finished. They plundered, destroyed. Gun! Get up! As nale-i murgh-i chaman, as bang-i azan khiz. Look, birds. On farms, on lands, on green places. Crying. Azan, call to prayer. Look, silent. Get up! As germi hengame atesh nefesan. I mean you, get up, get up. As khabi giran, khabi giran, khabi giran khiz. Get up from deep sleep, deep sleep, deep sleep. Get up from deep sleep. Khurshid ki piraye sirayem sahar best. Avize begushi sahar az khun jigar best. از دشت و جبل و قافله ها رخت سفر بست ای چشم جهان دیست. I mean, he goes down, get up, get up, get up, get up. From deep sleep, from deep sleep. Warning, Muslim world. So, not to take too much of your time, let me just read this poem. اصحاب گران خیز ای غنچه خابیده تو نرگس نگران خیز کاشانه ای ما رفت بتال راج غمان خیز از ناله ای مرغ چمن از بانگ ازان خیز از گرمی هنگامه ای آتش نفسان آتش نفسان خیز از خواب گران خ Harvey Giran, Khiz, as Harvey Giran, Khiz. Khurshid ki, pirayes, besimabu saharbest, avize begushi sahar as khun digarbest, as deshtu jabalu qafilaha rakhti safarbest, ay chashmi jihan bin, betam. تماشای جهان خیز از خوابی گران خوابی گران خوابی گران خیز از خوابی گران خیز خاور خاور همه مانند غبار سراهیست یک ناله خاموش و اثر باخت آهیست هر ذره این خاک گروه خورده نگاهیست از هندو سمرقند و عراق و همدان خیز از خواب گران خواب گران خواب گران خیز دریای نو دریاست که آسوده چو صحراست دریای تو دریاست که افزون نشد و کاست بیگانه آشوب و ننگیست چه دریاست از سینه چاکش صفت موج روان خیز از خواب گران خواب گران خیز این نکته که شایند اسرار نهان است ملک استن خاکی و دین و روح روان است تن زنده و جان زنده زیر ربط تن و جان است با خرقه و سجاده و شمشیر و سنان خیز از خواب گران خواب گران خیز از خواب گران خیز ناموس ازل را تو امینی تو امینی دارای جهان را تو یساری تو یمینی ای بنده خاکی تو زمانی تو زمینی صحبای یقین درکش و از دیر گمان خیز از خواب گران خواب گران خواب گران خیز از خواب گران خیز فریاد زی افرنگ و دلاوی زی افرنگ فریاد زی شیرینی و پرویری افرنگ عالم همه ویرانه زی جنگی زی افرنگ معمار حرم باز به تعمیر جهان خیز از خواب گران از خواب گران خواب گران خیز از خواب گران خیز I need to finish. May God bless you. Thank you very much. This was an honoring for me moment to be able really to share with you Muhammad Iqbal's some poems, some poetic part. I hope in future, sometimes, we may have other chances to meet to really go into some little more detail on the subject. Thank you very much.
Half an hour for questions, Dr. Kabaki. So raise your hand if you have a question.
Can we use a mic?
And hand it to them. I'll distribute the mic here to the questioners.
Turn it on. Push the button on the bottom.
I didn't quite get the point of the waking up. Presumably, he wants people to change, but it's far from clear how they're to change, what they're to do differently. Otherwise, it seems awfully vague. Could you clarify that?
First, I appreciate this question, but big question. I think first he wanted people's attention to rethink and strategize to change way of thinking and act as, think as futuristic, visionary, better vision and education. He was very much in favor. His son Javed in Istanbul University, when I was student, he visited that time. Our colleagues protested him because they did not find him, sorry to say, at the level of his father. They were looking at his father. So sometimes being the son of that prominent person is so difficult. So when they saw him, this guy is a little bit, because Muhammad Iqbal is very much loved in Turkey. In university, students read and they know, and they know him from Turkish translation, of course. So, education, he wanted to wake up Ummah. He is not only person. There was Jamaluddin Afghani before, after, I mean, before him, but also wanted Ummah wake up. Wake up, struggle for that. There were movements in Muslim world for quite a time. In Turkish history we call Islahat Hareketleri, how to improve. Movements of how to improve. I mean, there was a lot of like that Hareketleri. So he wanted educationally and mainly educational, but way of thinking, being a philosopher, he thought mainly intellectually how to change the people. In Quran, there is a verse. That verse is like mantra for in this type of occasion. He also touches in different poems. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِقَوْمٍ حَتَّى يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِأَنفُسِهِمْ. This is the text. No doubt, God is not going to change any people unless they change themselves. So, in Sufism, don't blame others. Why are you looking at others? You blame yourself. You are problem. Others are not problem. Others are problem because you are problem. You, yourself. That is why in Sufism, of course, this is great Sufi himself is Sufi, Sufi philosopher. His Sheikh Rumi is Sufi leader, Sufi. Say, you crash your ego first, your arrogance first, jihad, holy war with other people, that is not holy war, that is not war, holy war with yourself. You have Satan. You have evil power. You have inclination of doing bad thing. Keep that bad thing, faculty, under control. You struggle, you fight war with your inner evil power. I think this was his method, but that method chanted a lot, said a lot, preached a lot, but did not work that much, because masses are masses, people mess. You can teach people who are sitting in the class. You can teach people who have connection with your what? A teaching is a big process. You are math teacher, engineering, okay. You need to teach them elementary level first numbers. Just 10 numbers. 0, 1, 2, 3, 4. Just that much. That much is enough for all engineering numbers. Up and down. But you need to teach them first numbers. Then next to each other you need to put them. Then equal. Oh, this is addition. Opposite is subtraction. This is the multiplication. Opposite is division. I mean, there is a systematic way of teaching. So one day is not enough. Today this much, digest, go, come back. Tomorrow next one. Education must be systematic. One after another. How other ways? I mean, once a while, that's not education. That is reminding, that is painting, that is glossing, something. But it did not happen. In Muslim world, it did not happen. Yes, sir.
I was going to ask you a question about the contemporaries that lived at this time, both in the Middle East, you're from Turkey. And
yes.
He wrote in Urdu and he wrote in Farsi, I understand his poetry.
Farsi,
yes, Persian. So given the action that took place with the colonial powers in both India and what was going on in the Middle East, how influential was his poetry locally to create the state of Pakistan? Maybe a contemporary would be Gandhi, maybe? What happened, you know, when they drew the lines, including the line of control? And all the way to the Middle East, could you talk about his role? Because you wanted his book, and you stayed up at night and read it when you got it. It wasn't even written in Turkish. So would you explain some of that, please?
I appreciate this question. First, I live in the Pakistani families more than 25 years here, in my community here, Richardson, Islamic Association of North Texas. Our congregation is from all over the world, multi-ethnic, multi-community. I never cannot find anywhere this type of people, too many people, different in culture, different in language, immigrants, their children, born here, grown up here, halfway, full way, American, adopted, not adopted, they are all in our community. I am watching them. This is the NASA for Ummah, for me, like space, NASA, space research, okay, for me. So I cannot find any place in the world these different type of people living together. So I am very happy, that is why I am stuck here, stayed here happily. So I see Indo-Pakistanis, poetic, memorize, shut. I mean, each congregation, when I say a few words with someone, two couplets from Muhammad Iqbal, three couplets from Muhammad somebody, very much. I would say, I am not from subcontinent, from that part, but I would say his effect was very strong. That time there was no TV, no online, no inline, no telecommunication. So even newspapers was limited that time. I mean, print is difficult, distribution was difficult that time. But poems? Oh, they travel. Arabs, during the time of Arabs, Prophet Muhammad time, also poems, seven, I mean, people used to gather in marketplaces. Poets used to come and they select, and the best one at the top then next one, were carved or written on skins, hanged on Kaaba, sacred place. Kaaba, people used to read. I mean, in Arabia, before the birth of Prophet Muhammad, Imrul Qais was that man. Similar, Indo-Pakistanis are very much influenced by Muhammad Iqbal. Muhammad Iqbal played a big role in that part. Now, I don't think Arab world, Saudi Arabia, or Syria, or Iraq, or Egypt, or North African Arab worlds were that much influenced by Muhammad Iqbal. I don't think. Why? In my life, I very rarely saw one scholar, Arab scholar, who studied Persian. They never studied. When you don't have language, when we don't study a scholar, so they don't have this idea of intellectual or Sufi or mystic understanding terminologies. They don't have. That is why first thing, even in my community, I know when I mention something from Moroccan, reaction will be like that. I know, I got experience. From Pakistani, they will appreciate, the other one depreciate. Same thing. Why? Because they don't have this concept. Nobody told them. Their scholars did not know. So I doubt Arab world benefited too much. Of course, because of the Persian, Iran, and you know, this Persian was kind of lingua franca in certain areas. In India, Mongol Empire, like 4 centuries, 5 centuries, their palace language was Persian, not Arabic. In Ottoman's Caliphate, palace language was Persian, palace. But Arabic was in madrasas, scholars and madrasas, and they were studying. But like French, you see, in diplomacy, I believe that is French in our part of the world. French is considered diplomatic language, and if you are a diplomat, in that field, you need to know a little French or something like that. I mean, English is not enough. Monsieur, something. You need to know something. Bonjour, bonsoir, or something. You need to know. Or how to act. I mean, here in this country, Mr. Obama, for example, somebody can say, what? They will crash you down in Turkey. You must say, Your Excellency, high position president. Something different. In this country, governor or, I mean, mayor comes with his car. What through this guy, the governor, the mayor, no, that could be mayor. He said, mayor, listen, he comes like that. Oh, I mean, that's not me, but the cars, and 2 cars before, 3 cars after. I mean, this is this back home. Different. It's too much different. So what I am saying, the in Mongol Empire and Ottoman Empire, palace language, in palace, men, women, more communication was in Persian, not in Arabic. Arabic Quran, Arabic religious, yeah, pray, okay, but when it comes to other daily things, Turkish, yes, Ottoman Turkish was in Turkey, and also Persian. I don't think in like former Russia, Muslim like Kazakhstan, Uzbekistan, and so many Turkmenistan. Yes, that area also Persian was influential. They knew Muhammad Iqbal is known in that area. Yes.
Abba, yeah, I'm a little confused, but I'd like you to explain. Ibn Sina, Averroes, they took from Aristotle very logical way of looking at philosophy, religion, and then Ibn Ghazali said no, you being a Sufi, more mystic, you know God in a mystical way, science, mathematics, no good. So it kind of went down. So you say that from Muhammad Iqbal that he's Sufi, but his message is more practical. It's more, you know, lift yourself up, become more practical, not a mystical message. Can you explain to me where his Sufism fits into that?
Yes. Thank you very much. Good question. First, a little more comment on Ghazali's views on philosophy. Yes. Ghazali, 1111, death. His day of death. So, in scholarship, we give day of death as criteria. So that was his time influence, because people give more influence, more books, write more books, late, not early age. In Islamic tradition, even if you are big scholar, you don't chant when you are 30. You respectfully listen to others. Your turn, when your turn, late 40, climbing 50, then you begin a little bit. I mean, you don't be like rooster, where other senior roosters are. You be, no, I mean, you. So, late, he wrote a book, Ghazali, answering to our brother's question, perhaps. Ghazali wrote a book, Tahafutul Falasifa. I read that book. What that means, crashing philosophers. Or like a tree, you have a stick, leaves, branch, leaves, you hit with stick, I am from village. So, sometimes our, in winter, snow, so they need, the goats and they need to eat something, so they cannot. So you hit, then these leaves fall, they pick. So that is the meaning of the tahafutul falasifa, crashing or hitting, letting like leaves fall down, of philosophers, letting philosophers fall down. Yes, he did like that. He has a book. But Ibn Rushd, Averro, wrote against that book, Tahafutul Falasifa, crashing down. That book who crashes down the philosophers. Then, Ottoman scholar Hojazadeh came into picture. Studied both of them. He said, no, Averro is wrong. So, he wrote a third book, Tahafutul Falasifa, crashing down the book, claims crashing down book crashing down the philosophers. I had a colleague, if she is alive, Mubahat Türker, Ankara University, worked on these three books. Very strong lady in Persian and Arabic, very strong lady. She was senior than me, so maybe if whether she's alive or not, I don't know. But specialized. Now, but coming back, let me rush a little bit. Coming back, these philosophers, they meant, Ghazali criticized, are different than any other philosophers. You know, there are philosophers, Nietzsche, you know Nietzsche? Of course, you know, I mean, Western philosophers. Philosophers who favor religion and explain the religion and explain this, that. It is in Judaism, in Islamic philosophy, Islamic literature. There are philosophers who are at atheistic, I mean, respectfully. So he opposed philosophers because philosophy, the word philosophy, felsefe in Arabic, has very soft meaning. So it fits here, fits here, fits here. Even here in my community, when I say Sufism or something, I know the people who are Saudi brother, after my lecture, they will oppose to me. Because their understanding is Sufism is different. But I know after them, there is another group, they will appreciate a lot. Because their understanding of Sufism is different. Whereas I was almost covering the idea of both of them, acceptable both of them. But this is what it is. Some words need soft. Somebody understand this way, somebody understand this way. So, I would say, Muhammad Iqbal, for science, he is not against science. Ghazali himself also is not against, like, technological meaning of science, encourages people. But his opposition, that specific time of specifically philosophers of his time, not all the time, yes.
As we were talking earlier, before you spoke, before your presentation, about Islamic law versus secular law. And I was wondering, did Muhammad Iqbal, did he talk about how secular law should be predicated upon Islamic law, or did he write about that? Or and as far as when these nations were established, how did they, the nations you talk about, how did they construct their law in these Islamic nations?
Okay. Thank you very much. This is a good question. I wish I could have done a better research and come. I am myself having law background as well, and also wrote about what is Sharia, what is not Sharia. I have article on that. Also, an international religious American town hall, religious town hall meeting, different faith groups. I had opportunity to explain over there what is Sharia, what is not Sharia. I have too much interest in that, but specifically Muhammad Iqbal, I must say, not that much specifically about, say, his secular reason, knowledgeable. I am not too much knowledgeable, but as I have feeling here in this book and in the other books, I think he is more Islamic law, because in his understanding and humbly respectfully, in my understanding, Islamic law covers all secular. You don't need to be a separate secular thing. Islamic law covers. In another time, I can go into detail. But if you allow me, I would say something daring more. American laws, state laws, federal laws, to me, I can throw a number, 80% American laws are Sharia laws, fitting to Sharia laws, not against Sharia laws, if you allow me. It may be shocking. Sharia means way. Sharia means law. Sharia doesn't mean cutting hand, stoning adulteress or person, or having more than one wife. This is only criminal laws, very small part. Islamic law, Sharia law, has international law, constitutional law, different branches, international public, droit public in French, private international droit privé in French, different, and then civil law, then transaction, hukoudat, transaction, civil transaction, buying, selling, how to, what to offer, acceptance, how to express statement, will, needed, expressed, agreed, did not agree. This in legal studies, there are different branches. Islamic law has all of that, and criminal law too, inheritance law too. So in inheritance, in criminal law, one part is like cutting hand or stealing something. It is misunderstood, misnamed, to use small part of the law as if meant everything. No, sir, no. Islamic law is so wide, so reasonable. I teach here, I finished recently, Ottoman Code Civil. Ottoman Code Civil exactly like Code Civil of Napoleon, 1804. Code Civil. Napoleon Code Civil. Civil Code. Civil. This Civil Code, mother, Napoleon, 1804. Napoleon is very interesting guy. Big guy. He saw his county laws, something. Okay. This county, another one. This county, another one. This canton, another one. This canton says, hey, what are you doing here? Hello, hey, come together. He chaired. No, you must make one law for everyone. No. I need you to do it. So in one way or another, force them. They made a law. I have this French, and if you Google English translation, you will find code. That code is like Justinianus code, Constantinople, I mean 4th century, 5th century AD, before Prophet Muhammad's birth. Digesta, Jus Civile, Latin. That code, that type of code, German glossators, post-glossators, wrote glossas, notes, on their Latin, great, this Roman law, very great, very big law. You get surprised, how did they manage? Something like that code, that is mother of European continental law and also mother of English and common law, American law. I know common law is a little different, English law a little bit different than continental laws. So what I am saying, there was a book in university in Turkey when I was in charge of the research institute, 4-volume book, this big book. I went back, I looked for that book, I could not find, and I will go next time. When I go, I will look for, I will dig in, I will find that book. This big book, 4-volume, comparing each Arabic, each article of Napoleon Code with Islamic law. What is the source of it? Because Napoleon had relation with Egypt, visited Azhar University, very famous Azhar University, very interesting relations. So what I am saying, Sharia, 80% of Sharia, American laws fit to Sharia law, generally speaking. So Iqbal, to my understanding, is in that category. He sees Islamic law covers. You don't need two secular, two non-religiosity thing, because Islamic law covers civil corporation and civil rules as well.
Last question here.
Yes. I'd like to ask about, I'm not sure I've got the right words for it, but jihad with the people that in Islamic interpretation, I've found that there are some people that make a peaceful demonstration of jihad, and some people, about 20%, would make a warlike religion of jihad.
Yes.
And I wonder, what about, is that just a difference in interpretation? You might comment on that difference in interpretation of the Quran.
Yes. Thank you very much. If you allow me, let me this last so that I may catch up my other job too. First, this interpretation of the texts of religious hermeneutics is big subject. I have colleagues, rabbis, synagogues in Richardson area. I have relation with them 25 years. I am very interfaith guy. I learned a lot. Catholic bishops, grandma, and others, I love, and the Methodist, and the Presbyterian, and Lutheran, and others, Unitarian, Dr. Cantor, and the OB. So I learned a lot in the interfaith things, and also I try to say my part of the world. I learned a lot. What I feel, general comment, that this way of thinking is very important in understanding a religious text. Hermeneutics, how to understand a text properly, is very important. I see Orthodox Jewish people looking at Reformed Jews here as not Jews, excuse me. No good. No good. Excuse me. They respect each other, diplomatically, but that is what is this. You feel, you understand. In Judaic tradition in Israel, a person who is not Orthodox Jew, a girl, Jew but not Orthodox Jew, takes 5 years, 6 years to marry, because needs to convert to Orthodox Jew. to Orthodox Jew when you convert 5 years. For that, what do? They go to Cyprus, south part of Cyprus. They become, same day they get married, they come back because it is outside of the country, outside of the authority of Jewish Judaic law. It is accepted. This is what they do. It's happening. I know this. I am very interested in this type of area. So what I am saying, this interpretation is very important among Muslim groups. We have all type of people. Some radicalists, some they understand this way, jihad, and others, this is no, the other way. Sufism is soft way of understanding Islam, Sufism. Sufism is based on love, based on God, creation of God, mystery, everything, respect, love, very different than legalistic or radicalist or fundamentalist. That is, I agree, it is a matter of interpretation, a matter of practice. So some understand jihad like that, understood jihad like that, other terminologies. But in Sufism, jihad is you fight with your inner evil powers first, before you preach others. You be Moses of yourself, for Pharaoh you have in your body. Why are you reading this Moses and Pharaoh in the history, oppressed, suppressed Jewish people, and reading over there? Why are you going over there? Come back. Inner introspective, inner check. You have Musa, you be Musa, Moses, of your own Pharaoh sitting here. Control that one, not to do evil to other people. I appreciate very much. Thank you.